with me to Galatians chapter 1, the book of Galatians chapter 1. It's good to be back with you. We had a good trip to Branson. Jane and I went over yesterday, spent the night there, and then preached there this morning. I had a good trip back, and it's good to be back with you again this evening. Appreciate Rusty preaching. I think he was not feeling well this morning, as I understand it, and he's not feeling enough to be out tonight, so we want to remember him. Sorry that he's not able to be out. I appreciate him being willing to get up before you and preach this morning. I hear that he did a good job, a good lesson. Good to have various ones back with us. Good to have Tessa back with us again after being gone for the summer. And Donovan, good to have him with us. And as he begins his new year, good to have Jarek back. Been gone for about a month. And Taylor, who's been sick, and others maybe who've been out, but good to have everyone here this evening. Before we read from Galatians chapter 1, just talk a bit about the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, Paul is dealing with a controversy in the church. There were Judaizing teachers, and they were saying that in order for Gentiles to be saved, they had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. Now, that was false teaching, and the churches here in Galatia were being influenced by these false teachers. And so Paul is writing this epistle to these churches in order to bring these Galatians back to the truth. They were being influenced by these false teachers, and so Paul is trying to bring them back to the truth. Evidently, one thing that these false teachers had tried to do is to discredit Paul, the one who had first preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Evidently, they were thinking that if they were going to have any influence on these Gentile churches, they would need to discredit Paul as a preacher. And so one thing they said is that Paul did not receive his apostleship from Jesus Christ, and the gospel that he preached did not come from Jesus Christ, but rather it came from men. And so Paul deals with that here in chapter 1. Notice the very first thing that he says in verse 1 of Galatians 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So Paul makes it clear at the very beginning that his apostleship did not come from men, but it came through Jesus Christ. And then he says in verses 11 and 12, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the gospel that he preached, what he preached, he is making clear did not come from men, but it came through Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about what he preached. Now, what did Paul preach? And that's what I want to talk about this evening in this lesson. What did Paul preach? There are three terms that are used here in Galatians chapter 1 that describe what Paul preached. And I want to consider these three terms. The first one is the gospel. As we just read in verse 11, Paul says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. So what Paul preached to them was the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, the word gospel means good news. That's the meaning of the term. And the gospel is the good news of salvation from sin through Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul preached. And there are basically three things that are involved in the preaching of the gospel. There are facts to be believed, there are commands to be obeyed, and there are promises to be received by those who obey the commands. And so there are facts to be believed, commands to be obeyed, and promises to be received by those who obey the commands. Consider with me some examples of this. First of all, look with me in Mark chapter 16. Here Paul tells the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what the apostles did. They went out preaching the gospel to every creature. And we find this began in Jerusalem. And the apostles began to preach this word on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. It says in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Acts that they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They are proclaiming this gospel. Now, consider what Peter preached. Let's begin with verse 22 here of Acts chapter 2. And Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." So what is Peter preaching here? Well, he's preaching some facts, isn't he? He preaches that Jesus was a man attested by God by the miracles, wonders, and signs that he did. Also that he was crucified, that he was buried, and then he rose again. And so he's preaching about Jesus, the facts about Jesus, how he performed miracles, proving who he was, and how he was put to death, he was buried, and then he rose again. And Peter goes on to give evidence, presents evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead. I suggest these are facts then that were being preached. Now, as a result of Peter's preaching and proving that this Jesus was raised from the dead, he concludes his sermon in verse 36 by saying, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So they ask, "What shall we do?" And what does Peter give? He gives some commands. He tells them to repent, and each of them be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's for the remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is Peter preaching? He's preaching the gospel. But it's not just facts to be believed, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but it also includes commands to be obeyed. He's preaching the gospel when he gives these commands. And so you have facts to be believed, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, commands to be obeyed, they were to repent and be baptized, and the promises. They were to receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so you have these three aspects of what Peter preached at the beginning. What did they go out to preach? They went out to preach the gospel as Jesus commanded them to do. You know, someone might be asking, how can commands fall into the category of good news? How is that good news? They understand how that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for dying for our sins, being raised again, is good news. But how could commands be a part of the gospel, which is good news? Well, let me give you this illustration. Suppose you received in the mail a notice that you just won a new Mercedes-Benz, a new car. And you check it out, and you learn that it is legitimate. And that's true. You have won a new Mercedes-Benz. But in this notice that you received, there were no instructions on how to receive it. You don't know what to do in order to receive this new Mercedes-Benz. But then the next day you get in the mail what? Instructions of what you need to do in order that you might receive this new Mercedes-Benz. Let me ask you, would those instructions be good news? Well, indeed it would be. Here you now learning what you need to do in order that you might receive this gift, that you might receive this new Mercedes-Benz. And so good news can include commands, include instructions. And just think about that. There in Acts chapter 2, when the Jews heard the preaching of the facts about Jesus and they came to realize that he is Lord in Christ, and they said, they're cut to the heart, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You think the information that Peter is now giving them is good news? What if Peter had said, "You know, I don't know what you need to do. I mean, or we don't know what you need to do. That would be very much a disconcerting and depressing to these people that here we don't know what to do. But when Peter gave the instructions, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, that was good news. And when they did that, those who gladly received the word were baptized, it says. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And so you have in the preaching of the gospel there in Acts 2, recorded in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, that these Jews heard the facts. They believed it. They were told what they needed to do. Commands were given. They obeyed and they received the promises of remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you'll notice, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God," now notice, "and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." The gospel doesn't include just facts to be believed, but there are commands to be obeyed. The gospel can be obeyed. So we know that there are commands that are a part of the gospel of Christ. Look with me at another example of this, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and also Acts chapter 18. This is Paul preaching the gospel to the Corinthians. And when he writes to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians, notice he tells them the gospel that he had preached to them, the gospel that they had believed and in which they now stand. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What is this gospel? For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and goes on to give evidence of his resurrection. But what did Paul preach to them when he preached the gospel? Well, some facts: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we also know that he preached some commands. You remember back in Acts 18, we have Luke's account of Paul coming to Corinth and preaching the gospel there. It says that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Well, part of the preaching that Paul did was telling them what they needed to do. They needed to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. That was a part of the gospel that he preached to the Corinthians. And so, both the Jews, on the day of Pentecost, received the preaching of Peter, and they were given facts to be believed. They were given commands to be obeyed and promises to be received. And that's exactly what Paul preached. He preached the same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And that is the facts that is to be believed, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, commands to be obeyed, and these who then obeyed those commands received the promises. They were saved. When Paul addressed his church, he addressed them as saints. Those have been sanctified. These are people who have been washed, who have been justified, who have been redeemed. They had received the promises. It's the same gospel. You know, you may, in reading commentaries, read some commentators who will talk about the Petrine gospel as opposed to the Pauline gospel. And there are those who believe that what Peter preached was a different gospel than what Paul preached. Well, I don't see that in the New Testament, in the preaching that both Paul and Peter did. When I read what Peter and Paul preached, they preached the same gospel. What Peter preached in Jerusalem was the same as what Paul preached when he went out to the Gentiles. And he preached. And that is what we would expect because they were both guided by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't guide them into different gospels. And Paul even says here in Galatians 1, beginning of verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul is saying there is only one gospel. And if anyone else comes along and preaches, even an angel from heaven, if an angel came and preached any other gospel different than the gospel which they had preached unto them and which they had received, he goes on to say in verse 9, then let him be accursed. That is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one gospel. And what Paul preached to the Galatians is the gospel that Peter preached and that all the apostles preached. It is the same gospel. So that's what Paul preached. He preached the gospel. Let's look at another term that's used here in Galatians chapter 1. Look with me at verses 22 and 23. It says, "If I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." Notice, Paul preached the faith. He who once persecuted is now preaching the faith. Paul's talking about himself here. What was Paul preaching? He was preaching the faith. Now, what is the faith? You know, this phrase is not the normal way in which we use the word faith, or I might say normally the way the word faith is used. Generally, when we think of faith, we think of one's own personal faith. That is one's conviction. What you believe, that's what you are convicted of in your heart, that's your faith. And that's how it is used in Scripture. But that is not the usage here. There's another usage of the word faith here in Scripture. And here it's talking about what is to be believed, or what is to believe, that is the contents of faith. It is that which can be preached, because Paul said here that he now preaches the faith. So the faith is the contents of what is to be believed. That which is preached. You know, we would not then think that the faith which Paul preached was different than the gospel which he preached. We're not talking about something different than the gospel. Paul said he had preached the gospel in verse 11. Now he's talking about preaching the faith. It's just two different terms that refer to the same preaching. It is called here the faith. Really, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, Luke records that the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, we would say that the faith involves facts to be believed. This is the content of what you believe. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus would be included in the faith. Here we find that there were certain ones who were obedient to the faith. That would include commands to be obeyed. They obeyed the faith. It sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? And no doubt then there were those things included in that preaching would be the promises that were to be received. So the faith involved facts to be believed, commands to be obeyed, and those who obeyed faith no doubt received in the promises. And that is the remission of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the hope of eternal life. The Bible teaches that there is only one faith. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 5. Beginning with verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." You know, sometimes you may hear people say that they are of the Catholic faith, Baptist faith, or they are of the Presbyterian faith, and they're sometimes will ask you, what faith are you? Well, I will say to you, I am not of the Church of Christ faith. The implication in all of that is there are different faiths. And that's true, because these different groups preach different things. But the Bible is saying here that there is only one faith. They're not different faiths. Whatever faith I am of, I want to be of that one faith, which means I believe the facts of the preaching of the faith, and I have obeyed the commands of the faith, which is only one. There's only one faith. And I, in doing that, have received the promises. I have not obeyed some different commands than what others have obeyed, and we're all disciples of Christ, and we're all then saved and going to heaven. No, all who are disciples of Christ and all who've been saved and are going to heaven have obeyed the one faith. They have obeyed the one gospel. They're not different faiths. And we also see this in Jude verse 3. Notice what Jude says. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, there's one faith that is approved of God. What is that faith? Well, it is the faith that was delivered once for all to the saints. And that word once, there's one Greek term here, which means once, and the idea is one time for all time. And so the faith was once for all, one time for all time, delivered to the saints. When was it delivered? Well, it was delivered in the first century to the apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. It was delivered then once, one time for all time. And we now have it preserved for us in the Scriptures. And whatever the faith was in the first century, it's the faith of the 21st century. There have been no changes, no additions, no subtractions, no modification in that faith, that one faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And so if I am going to believe the one faith, have the contents of that faith, it's going to have to come from this book here. I'm going to have to get my head in the book to find out what it is. And if I'm going to obey the instructions that the Lord has given me in order to receive the promises, I'm going to have to, again, get my head in the book and read what is stated here in this revelation, which is the revelation of that one faith, once for all delivered to the saints, and we have it preserved in the Scriptures. Consequently, if we want to stand on the one faith of Ephesians 4 and verse 5, we must then study the Scriptures. The faith is not determined by what I believe. It's not determined by what you believe. It is determined by what was once for all delivered to the saints in the first century. And that's the gospel. And so the faith that Paul preached is the same as the gospel. Let's look at one other term here found in Galatians chapter 1. And look at verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." So what did Paul say that he preached unto the Gentiles? He preached him. Who is him? Well, of course, that is Jesus. Let me ask this question. Does this mean that Paul preached something different than the gospel? When he preached Jesus, did he preach something different than the faith? Is he saying that sometimes I preach the gospel, sometimes I preach the faith, and sometimes I preach Jesus? Well, of course not. This is just saying in the preaching of Jesus, he was preaching the faith. And in preaching the faith, he is preaching the gospel of Christ. Preaching Jesus is the same as preaching the gospel and preaching the faith. Now, it includes facts about Jesus. Some might think that preaching Jesus only includes preaching about his life and his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, it includes that, but it includes more than that. In preaching Jesus, we know that it includes commands to be obeyed and promises to be received by those who obey the commands. Look with me in Acts chapter 8. And this is when Philip preaches to Philip, you remember. I'm sorry, when Philip preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember he joins the eunuch in the chariot. Notice what it says beginning with verse 35 of Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And so as a result of Philip hearing the preaching of Jesus, he then wants to be baptized. That conclusion that we draw from that is that included in preaching Jesus is the command to be baptized. How would the eunuch know that he needs to be baptized and now desires to be baptized if that was not then presented to him by the preaching of Philip? And so Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch. We know that included a command to be baptized, because here the eunuch wants to be baptized. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why is he rejoicing? It's because he had received promises. Promises that if you obey the commands, you will receive the remission of sins. You will be saved. And so now he goes on his way rejoicing. What did Philip preach to the eunuch? He preached Jesus. Sounds to me like it was the same as the gospel. Sounds to me like it was the same as the faith that Paul preached. And that is exactly right. You see, preaching Jesus includes preaching baptism. Facts to be believed, commands to be obeyed, and promises to be received by those who obey the commands. So, what did Paul preach? He preached the gospel, the good news of salvation through Christ. But that included the commands to be obeyed. He preached the faith. That is, the faith, that which we need to believe, the contents of that faith concerning Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, who Jesus is. But it also includes commands to be obeyed. There were those who obeyed the faith. And also, the preaching Jesus not only includes preaching the facts about Jesus, but it includes preaching the commands that one must obey in order to receive the salvation that has been provided through his death, burial, and resurrection. And those who do that, in all of this preaching, they are promised remission of sins, the hope of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to be preaching today. We need to be preaching the gospel, the faith, Jesus. Remember, there's only one gospel. It's not just going out and preaching something about Jesus. It's preaching what is revealed in Scripture. That one faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That's the only way that we're going to know what to preach. And as we get our head in the book, we learn it, we obey it, and then we preach others. And we're preaching them the same thing that the apostles did in the first century. Well, I hope some things we've said have been helpful to you in your walk as a Christian, your the responsibilities that the Lord has laid upon you as a Christian. Help you as you go out and strive to lead others to Jesus Christ. There may be some here who never obeyed this one gospel. Maybe you know the facts about Jesus and you know that he died for you. Maybe you already know what the Lord has commanded. You just never have obeyed. You've never committed your life to Christ. You've never put your faith in him and repented of your sins, confessed your faith, and been baptized in his name for the remission of sins. That be the case, we encourage you to come to Jesus tonight and obey him. Obey the gospel tonight. If you've become a Christian, but you fall away, you know, when come back to Him. We repent of our sins as the Lord commanded. Confess our sins and pray God for forgiveness. We're obeying the gospel. We're obeying the faith which has been revealed. God has given us that we might know how to be saved from our sins, how to be forgiven. And if you need to do that, we encourage you to do that tonight. If there are any who need to come, please come as we stand and sing.